welcome to the last episode of 2023 for Walking Movies. It's technically the first episode of 2024, but as you will know, at the end of every year, I like to wrap up the films that I've watched over the year, tell you what my favourite films were for the year, and what films I didn't like that I saw this year. So it's going to be a long one. We've got a lot to cover. Over 60 films are on the list. There are some exceptions that should be on this list that aren't. Killers of the Flower Moon is one of those, because I just didn't get time to see it. And it's probably going to win a load of awards, and people say it's the best film of the year, but I haven't seen it, so it doesn't count on my list. So, of course, there will be some exceptions to this, but let's go. I've prepared a kind of, not a spreadsheet, but a tier maker that I've created. I'll put the link in the show notes as well, if you want to play along at home, or whatever. But we're going to do this in stages of 10 films at a time, and I'll be trying to work out what my favourite film of the year is. And as usual with this kind of thing, I haven't actually decided. I think I know what it's going to be. There's at least two films which will probably be my favourite of the year, but it's going to be tight. I can tell you that for nothing. So sit back, relax, and let's have a look at the films of 2023 and what I think are the top films. Right, so these films are in no particular order. I just went through all the films that I saw, grabbed some posters, and this nifty little thing here where we're gonna rank the films. But we're gonna start strong. Polite Society. That's definitely going here. The grades, by the way, if you listen to this as an audio podcast, it's S, A, B, C, D. The top films will be an S grade. Obviously, D will be the lowest grade. And I'll put Polite Society at A for now. This was the first video Walking Movies that I ever did. It was a film that I knew nothing about. Like, I hadn't even seen the trailer for it. Had no idea what it was about or what it was going to be like. And it was a massive, massive surprise at how much I enjoyed this film. I've seen this film twice, I think, this year or last year. And love it. I think it's a really great debut film. And yeah, it's just one of the surprises of the year for me. So I do rank that very high. The Marvels is next. I'm going to put it as a B for now. That might change as we go through this. And this list will be fluid, I'm sure, because as I go through later films, I might decide things need to be adjusted somewhat. The Marvels was the third best Marvel film that came out this year. It's the second best Marvel Studios film that came out this year. But I did really enjoy The Marvels. I'm disappointed in how badly it actually performed at the cinema, because it is the lowest grossing Marvel Studios film they've released, and it didn't deserve that. There's a lot of things at play. Some of it was to do with, you know, the toxicity around it, because it was a female-led Marvel film. There was also the fact that it was coming out when the actors were on strike. They weren't allowed to do publicity for it. You know, there's a few things at play here. I'm not really sure what caused it to do as badly as it did. But I am disappointed that it didn't do that well. What can I say? Just a shame, but the film itself was really good. I really did enjoy it. I thought Miss Marvel in particular was exceptional in this film, but you know, Captain Marvel and Photon, is that what he ended up going with in the end? I can't remember. But I thought the cast were great. There was a lot of humour in it. The dance number was a little bit too much for me. I love dance numbers, but it felt a little bit kind of out there. And it was nifty. Like, it was under 2 hours. It was enjoyable, but it wasn't the best Marvel film I saw this year. But certainly better than the box office results would give you. Right, I'm going to skip Oppenheimer for now. No, let's just do it. It's going up in the S tier. I mean, if you haven't seen it, it's a long film, but it's exceptional. All the acting performances in it are great. It was an interesting story. I like the way it told the story as well. I thought it was very interesting. I'm sure it's going to do well at the Oscars. And it deservedly so. Really, really good film. Yeah, really enjoyed it and deserves the plaudits that it gets. Another one. This was an early contender for the most enjoyable film I saw this year, and it's John Wick Chapter 4. If you love the John Wick films, there's nothing I really need to tell you about this film. It's a really great series of films, and it's very hard for me to rank the films. This is probably the first or second best film in the series. The first film is the exceptional. But they're all really great, and this was no exception. It was long, but I think it needed to be because of the story it was telling. It didn't feel, although it was a long film, it was almost 3 hours, it didn't drag, which is the most important thing. Like, the pacing was really, really good on it. So yeah, John Wick Chapter 4, exceptional film. For now, it's at the S grade. I might change that later on. But I was calling it like film of the year back in May, I think it was, when it came out. It's been a strong year. It's been a very strong year. Guardians of the Galaxy is going under the A tier for now. After Volume 2, my expectations for Volume 3 were kind of low. I obviously hoped it was really good. I just didn't really like Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 very much. I think I've seen it twice. Just not a film that I particularly enjoy. But I've seen the first one so many times. It's a really good film. It's a really good film. And probably the best live action Marvel film. For a while. Certainly the best one of this new phase, I think. This latest phase. So, yeah. Really, really enjoyable. It's now streaming on Disney Plus. If you haven't already seen it, you should really go and watch it. If you like the first or even the second one, because people do like the second one, it's just not something I enjoy. But it's a great film. It's a really great film. So go and see it. Right, for now, this is going up here as well. Might slightly move a bit later on. And that's Megan. It was one of the first films I saw this year. The trailer had me intrigued, but the film was exceptional fun. And from a personal level, it's a film that means quite a lot to me, weirdly, because it's the first horror film that my daughter actually watched. When I went to Halloween Horror Nights, one of the things that I had to do was capture the Megan dance crew that they had at the event, because my daughter had asked me to film them, and they came out at random times, so it was never guaranteed. And luckily, I managed to capture them on my second night, and she loved the video. And it's in my series of Halloween Horror Night vlogs, so if you want to see that, you can do. But the film itself is great. It's a comedy horror. I think it's a really good gateway horror film, because It's not particularly violent. I mean, there is violence in it, obviously. There is death and horror elements. But it's quite sanitised. I think it was a 15 here. It was a PG-13 in the States. And that is far more where I think it should be. You know, I think it's not as scary as something like Stranger Things, which my daughter also enjoyed. But this was a film that she really loved. And she even dressed up as Megan for Halloween. And my wife put together a really great costume for her to wear to dress up as Megan. And it looks great. Actually looks quite terrifying. With the makeup done and everything like that. It was really good. But the film is great. I cannot wait for the sequel. Just a lot of fun. It was one of those films that was far more fun than it had any right to be. So, yeah, big fan of Megan. Right, here's a film which I haven't discussed because I only just watched it. Basically, after my last review, I tried to watch a few more films before recording this and a few films that I was trying to catch up on. And one of those was Blackberry, which is a, you know, docudrama about the Blackberry mobile phone, which is what everyone aspired to until the iPhone came out and basically killed it off. Really interesting. It's shot in a really kind of interesting style because it's filmed like a documentary, I guess. In like the camera angles and like the shots and how it's filmed, but it's a really interesting story, and I didn't know, you know, it kind of starts at the creation of the first BlackBerry phone when they were trying to put the idea together, to its, you know, huge success right down to when it crashed and burned. And it was a really fun film. I really enjoyed it. Could have done with being a bit more funny, I think, but the film itself is really enjoyable and was a big surprise. I really was surprised by it. So, yeah, if you get a chance to watch Blackberry, it's really good. It's a really, really fun film. Right, how many have we done? So, there's a three more. So, next up is The Blackening. I'm going to put it as a C grade for now. It's one of those films, The Blackening, that if you saw the trailer, you saw a lot of the good jokes, right? And also, the kind of twist was pretty obvious from the outset. So, it was a really clever idea, but I don't think it worked as well as they had intended it to. So, yeah, it's a bit of a shame. It was still good, and, you know, I'd like to see more films like this, like, it was a fully black cast. And if you haven't seen the trailer, I think you'll enjoy the film a lot more, because you know, some of the funnier bits were in that trailer. But it was an entertaining film. You know, I want to say it's about an hour and 40 or something like that. It's not a particularly long film, but I just wish a few more of the jokes landed. It's had like a really strong kind of like opening, like half of the film, and then it kind of just feels a bit dragged out towards the end. It's a shame, but, you know, it wasn't awful, but, you know. And speaking of which, I'm going to put this here, No Hard Feelings, Jennifer Lawrence comedy where a rich family basically hire Jennifer Lawrence's character to date their son because he's no good at dating women. And it's really weird because I remember seeing the first trailer for it and I was like, oh, okay, it's like a flat out comedy. And then you watch it and it's kind of like more of a comedy drama, and the tone is weird, and, you know, some of it's really funny and some of it's feels quite serious. And tonally, I just thought it was a weird film, and it just didn't really work for me. I was disappointed in it, and I don't think it was anywhere near as funny as it could have been. And that seemed to be a problem with a few comedies that I saw this year, as you'll see as we go on. And then Sorry, it's going to have to go here as well. At D, I put Aquaman and the Lost Kingdom. Is that what it's called? I don't know, like I saw it a month ago, I can't even remember anymore. Aquaman 2, it's just not good. It's a real poor way to finish off the DCEU, or as I call it, the DCU. Absolute whimper it goes out on. The jokes just weren't funny. The villain was poor in comparison to how they kind of set it up in the first film. I didn't think he had much to work with. You know, it looked like Jason Momoa had fun on set with Patrick Wilson. And it's always good to see Patrick Wilson stuff. I like Patrick Wilson. Liked him for a long time. But this film just really didn't land for me. And I just found it really disappointing. So that's going to go D. And that probably won't change as we go on. But take a quick pause. See you in a sec. Right, let's go and look at some more films. As before we do, I'm just going to take a quick drink. Those of you on watching this on YouTube or video version, you'll see I've got this weird bottle with some tea bags in it. That's because I'm drinking cold brew tea. It's a pina colada flavour tea. I got this bottle for Christmas. Actually, I bought one for my wife, liked it, and bought myself one as well. And yeah, I've been drinking lots of flavoured tea as a way of like having, like going off of soft drinks and stuff like that and trying to just be a bit healthier. And yeah, it's lovely. And also, if you're watching the video, you can see a hat. That is the Montreal Canadiens NHL hockey team. But I wanted the hat because of going to Montreal. When I was there, I tried to buy this hat and it was really expensive. And so I decided not to. I regretted it. And I found it in my local Leeds. Other chain of hat stores are available, I guess. I don't know. Leeds is the only one I know. But anyway, got it there in their Christmas sale. So really exciting stuff for me. Right, let's go and have a look at some more films. The Meg 2. I'm going to put this as a C. I did really enjoy The Meg 2. In the last like 20-30 minutes, the preceding film before that I thought was quite boring. And also I've got a, when I saw it in 4DX, which was a great way of experiencing the Meg. Did make it a lot more fun, especially the final act. But it, yeah, if I've got to look at a film as a film and as a whole film, it was good, it just wasn't great. But I mean, Meg wasn't a great film to begin with, like the first Meg. You know, it was a B-list, you know, B-movie. You know, kind of fun. Nice take on Jaws. I think this is a better film of the two. And as I said, like the final act makes it worth watching anyway. Like, that was a lot of fun. I'm going to put the next film as under D as well, and that's Sisu. This is a war film set in World War II, but it's kind of like about a one-man killing army, really. Like, one-man army killing Nazi soldiers. And it was another film that I saw the trailer for and thought, that looks great. And then I watched the film and I was like, oh, you've just shown all the good bits off. And the thing is, I've talked before, like, I love watching trailers. I love, you know, getting excited about films by watching trailers. But one thing I really hate is when they literally cram all the good stuff into that trailer, because I may as well just not bothered. And Sisu, unfortunately, was just a film that I thought was just bang average. So right, if you're looking at the video version, you can see the films that I'm looking at, but I'm going to skip a few, and you can probably come to why that might be, but yeah. Anyway, the last film I went to the cinema to see was Next Girl Wins. I'm going to give that a, put that under B for now. That might move. Taika Waititi, this is a kind of return to form for him, I think, in terms of being able to kind of like find an enjoyable balance that's not too silly and also enjoyable, that he certainly lost with Thor Love and Thunder. I thought this was charming. I still haven't seen the documentary. I do want to see the documentary, and I am determined to watch the documentary. But I've decided to wait until this film comes out to watch at home. So I'll watch it again with the family, and then I'll watch the documentary when that comes out. So yeah, looking forward to it. Really enjoyable film. It's at B for now, might move down. We'll see as we go on. I have to put this under D. Sorry, Renfield. This was a big disappointment. I was really looking forward to this. Nicolas Cage as Nosferatu, as a vampire, as Dracula, and Nicholas Holt. But it had some really interesting special effects. Lots and lots of over-the-top blood, which, you know, I'm fine with. But I just didn't think the film was as good as a trailer. Again, it's another film that had a really good trailer. I wouldn't say it had all the best bits in the trailer, but I just think the film as a whole just didn't really work. And I mean, obviously the clues in the name, the film is called Renfield, so it's going to be about the character of Renfield, but I expected more Nicolas Cage, and I did really enjoy his performance in this film, but it wasn't enough of him. I just didn't really care for any of the characters. So it was a big disappointment. I really was expecting it to be something special, especially after like Megan had come out a few months before, but just didn't find it that enjoyable. Speaking of which, controversial, but I'm going to put Asteroid City as a C. It's a beautiful looking film. It really is. Some people have said, including me, it's the most Wes Anderson film. And I love Wes Anderson, but this for me just didn't cut mustard. I came out of it thinking it was charming, but it didn't leave me feeling as happy, as fulfilled as normally I come out of a Wes Anderson film. So I didn't like the gimmick. I didn't like the central gimmick of the film. Short spoiler, it's Asteroid City. What you're watching is a imagining of a stage performance of the story. So very meta. You know, as a visual treat, it is stunning. But as a Wes Anderson film, I just found it quite disappointing. And it's really sad. It's one of the films I was looking forward to the most. But what can you do? What can you do? Going straight into D, Strays. just another film where a lot of the good jokes are in it. But also, you realise watching it that what looks good in a, you know, a 2-minute trailer doesn't make for an entertaining full-length feature. It would work much better as a Saturday Night Live sketch or something like that. Like, as a full-length film, it just didn't keep the laughs coming. Hey, look, if you are going to, you know, watch this film when you're high, I'm sure you'll get a better experience. I certainly wish I had, because there was two people in front of me who definitely seemed like they were, and they had a whale of a time. But for me, no, it just wasn't a fun film, and disappointing, really disappointing. Wonka, I'm going to put as a B, and that might move. Again, really high hopes for Wonka because it was directed by Paul King, you know, the guy who made the Paddington films. Really big fan of those. But Wonka just didn't have the same fun, the same enjoyment. It just didn't have the same magic as the Paddington films did. And it just left me really disappointed. And it's sad because I was really looking forward to this film. It's not awful, but it's also not as good as it could have been. And you're lucky you're at B for now. That might change. Also going under B is The Creator. This was a film I knew nothing about. Again, I knew it was a brand new sci-fi concept. It came out when I was on holiday, so I didn't see it when it first came out. So by the time I saw it a weekend or two after, it was quite empty in the cinema. But I really enjoyed it. Like, it's not the most original concept for a sci-fi film. You could argue, you know, a bit of Black Mirror kind of, you know, it could have been a Black Mirror episode in some ways. But I thought it visually was very impressive. David John Washington as a lead, much better than Tenet was for him as a leading vehicle. And I really hope it finds an audience once it kind of, well, it started to appear on home release now. I think in the UK it's out in the middle of January, the end of January. But yeah, this was a big surprise to me. Really, really enjoyed it more than I expected to. So yeah, Creator, thumbs up from me. Dumb Money, I'm going to put that under B for now. This was a kind of well, it's a film about the GameStop shock with the stock exchange. I remember this. I mean, it's recent. Like, it was like a couple of years ago that this happened. And I remember watching it all unfold. And it's incredible. Really interesting story. It's funny. It's got a great cast. It's really interesting. Yeah, this film kind of come and went. Like, I was expecting to see it at the cinema. Completely missed it at the cinema. It was probably out for about a week or two tops. And yeah, it kind of appeared and disappeared. But I hope it does find an audience now. It's, you know, available to watch at home. It's worth your time. I think it's about 2 hours long. It's not, doesn't outstay its welcome. And whether you know what happened with the GameStop stocks or you don't, it's an interesting story. And I didn't know, you know, there were lots of things I didn't know about it. So to now kind of see a dramatized version of it, yeah, was a really good way of finding out what it was all about. Suzumi is going to go as a B for now. The first ever anime that I saw at the cinema, Suzume. It's weird, as a lot of Japanese animation is. This is about a girl who's trying to, you know, protect the world, and her companion's a chair. He gets turned into a chair. It's nuts. It's only available to watch on Crunchyroll as a streaming service. So, you know, it's not particularly easy to find. I don't even know if it's come out on Blu-ray actually over here yet. But I did really enjoy it. You know, it was quirky, but the animation was beautiful. The story was fun, even though it is odd. But I had a lot of fun at the cinema watching it. So yeah, that's a B film for me. All right, a couple more, and then we'll have another quick pause. The Machine, Bert Kreischer. This is a film about the famous stand-up routine where he was involved with the Russian mob. It's one of those things that the more time that's passed since he started doing his comedy routine, the less I believe of it, which is kind of what this film's about as well. Just wasn't very funny. Just wasn't good. Just wasn't entertaining. I watched it on a plane. I had actually been interested in seeing it, but it barely got a cinema release in the UK. So I watched it on the plane, and it was very tempting to turn it off. That's how I felt. So yeah, not recommended at all. Up at B for now, Joyride. one of the funniest comedies I've seen this year. We watched this a few days after No Hard Feelings, and in terms of the amount of laughs, it was night and day. Like, this was a really funny film about a girl who was adopted and raised in America that ends up being able to go home and meet her birth mother, and, you know, lots of things happen on the way. But yeah, I thought this was really funny. Me and my wife both watched it, and we both really enjoyed it. Certainly one of the funnier comedies of this year. And would happily watch again. So that goes off the B. And then Operation Fortune is a D. Another film that I've been looking forward to. Guy Ritchie has been on a bit of a return recently, and I thought this was going to be a bit like The Gentlemen. Hugh Grant in a very, you know, similar role to his character in The Gentlemen, you know, the Staff, but it just didn't really, it was nowhere near as much fun as The Gentlemen, or interesting, or entertaining. And it kind of, I know it got pushed back a few times because I think, if I remember rightly, Ukrainian villains were featured in the film, and then obviously the war happened, and so it kind of got delayed and pushed back and whatever, and eventually just kind of got pushed out at the beginning of this year on Amazon Prime. And yeah, at the end of it, we were both like, that was a bit of a waste of time, wasn't it? So can't recommend that film either. Right, time for another quick pause. See you in a sec. Okay, right, so Babylon. Gonna put this as a C. Now, I wasn't very complimentary on Babylon. And I mean, putting it as a C grade is still not, you know, particularly good. But I've thought about the film a lot since I watched it. It left quite an impression on me. So, you know, if I'd have been doing this list much earlier in the year, then it might have been a D. But actually, I think it's a C. And I just wish it wasn't so long. Or it was like a mini-series or something. I think it probably would have worked better. But I am going to watch it again. I am going to watch it again at some point. You know, it's just a big commitment, and I've still got Killers of the Flower Moon to watch, so it's in a pile, but I will watch Babylon again. You know, there were certainly things about it that I really enjoyed, but overall, yeah, it is what it is. Right, let's go. Barbie, S tier. You know, I did the Barbenheimer double bill. When I see Oppenheimer in the afternoon, when I saw Barbie in the evening. And I've seen Barbie twice now, I think. Which, you know, I've only seen Oppenheimer once, but technically if I watch Barbie twice, it's kind of like watching Oppenheimer once anyway. Almost. I want to say it was a surprise, but I mean, the trailers made it look good and the film ended up being good. But I guess what I mean is that, as I've talked with some of the other films, you know, the trailers have really ruined the actual film when I've come to watch it. It spoils it too much. And this was as good as I hoped. And actually a bit better, I think. I was really looking forward to it and I really enjoyed it. And it deserves all the praise it's got, and the fact that it's like the biggest film of the year. And between this and Oppenheimer, it basically saved the cinemas for another year. Not enough films have the power that Barbie and Oppenheimer did at the cinema. Like, it was insane how busy the cinemas were, especially that first weekend. Yeah, just great stuff. Yeah. Big fan, and rightfully deserves to be considered an S tier film. Now, Haunted Mansion, I'm going to put as a B. That might move a bit later on. I saw this at the cinema. I really enjoyed it. It was a film that shouldn't have come out in the summer. Not a summer blockbuster film at all. It came out a week or two after Barbie. I think it came out a week after Barbie and Oppenheimer in America. Maybe 2 or 3 weeks in the UK. It wasn't long. And so just disappeared without trace. Obviously, Disney Plus released it for Halloween, beginning of October, and it did really well on Disney Plus. No surprise. But I really enjoyed it. I thought if you knew the attraction, you obviously get a lot more out of the film. But I thought it was a lot of fun. I love Lakeith Stanfield anyway. But the whole cast are great. And I've seen it a couple of times. I've enjoyed it both times. So that's it. That's a B for me. Right, D for Shazam. Fury of the Gods. Just crap. So disappointing because I love the first Shazam. The first Shazam was my favourite DC film. The one that I enjoyed the most anyway, because I just thought it got the balance of everything right. You know, it had some pretty good action, some great comedy. Everything felt off with the sequel, even the performances from the same cast as the first film. Everything just felt off. The villains were poor, the story was poor. I don't know, like, I'm pretty sure when they were filming it, they didn't know that this was going to be the, you know, one of the final films of the DC EU, but it feels like no one could be bothered. And Zachary Levi throwing a tantrum at the bad reviews was hilarious because he was one of the worst things in it. And as time has proved, not a particularly nice guy, so he kind of deserved it. Sorry, mate. Fast X, C. Man, I love the Fast and Furious films, but Fast X was not great. I've only watched it once. I am going to go and watch it again, but it does feel like at this point in the franchise, it's diminishing returns. The opening section is great, drags in the middle. By the end of the film, I'm just like, why is this happening? Why are we doing this? And I shouldn't feel like that. I know this is supposed to be wrapped up with another, I can't remember if it's another two films. I can't remember if it's 11 or 12, but I'm kind of at the stage now where I almost feel done. And I won't be. I will be there opening weekend for Fast 11 and maybe Fast 12, whatever it is, because I'm a sucker. But this was a disappointment. Yeah. How can you be disappointed about a Fast and Furious film? Like, they're supposed to be like the cinematic equivalent of like fast food or something, but it wasn't a good Fast and Furious film. And this has been a very good year, I think, overall in film. Lots of good films. Cocaine Bear, I'm going to put that down as C as well. It's a fun film, but again, it's not as great as the trailer was so well put together. It's not even that you see the best bits in the trailer, it's just the trailer's done really well, and the film itself has good moments, but overall, I don't think it was that great. And it's a bit of a shame. I mean, look, it's not terrible, but I just don't think it's as interesting or as entertaining as the premise could have been for a film called Cocaine Bear. Scream 6, D. I mean, Scream 5 was really fun. It was called Scream, wasn't it? But it was Scream 5. Scream 6, just... And the stupid, like, politics of Paramount has now kind of, like, made Scream 7 probably pushed it into development hell. Like, it's lost its two lead actresses, the directors walked. The whole thing is an absolute mess at the moment. And much like Scream 6, just was not a good film. Very disappointing. I had much bigger hopes. Which leads me to Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania. I think I gave it like a 7 out of 10. It's easily gone down now. to probably a 6 or a 5. It just wasn't very good, was it? I've not watched it again. No one wanted to watch it at home when it came onto Disney Plus. It's just not great. It's not great. The effects are poor. Obviously, you've had the whole stuff about Jonathan Majors as well. Yeah, it's got that stench about it now, which is a shame for him. I mean, obviously not. I mean, he did something really bad, so rightfully that's been kind of taken away. But it feels like this film is even less important than it was back then. Yeah, it just wasn't very good, and easily the Morbius of 2023 for me. Theatre Camp is put it out for A for now. I really enjoyed Theatre Camp, a lot of fun with it. I had seen a brief trailer, but that was it. Trying not to pay too much attention. I'm glad I did, because you know, a lot of it felt fresh, didn't spoil many of the jokes. Great cast. I thought, you know, that the kids were charming as well. Had some heart, had some good laughs. I love a mockumentary, and this was a good mockumentary. Don't get many mockumentaries nowadays. This was a good one. I really recommend Theatre Camp. Saying that, I showed, got my wife to watch it. She didn't think it was anywhere near as enjoyable as I did. Which is comedy, right? She didn't hate the film, she just didn't find it as funny as I did. So, good film. Right, Mario, I'm gonna put as B. Might change. Chris Pratt wasn't as bad in the film as I thought he might have been, but still annoying. he was the worst thing in the film, which is a good thing. Like, if you say, like, you know, one voice actor was probably the thing that you hated the most about a film, that's a good thing. But he was the main character, and that's a shame. But it was better than you expected it to be, because it's a Mario film. We've already had one Mario film, which was a big mess. This was obviously far more faithful to the games. I thought it had some good laughs in it. I thought it had some great sequences in it. Be interested to see what they do with a sequel, and how they expand on what they've done in the first film. But I came out of there thinking I'd seen a really good film. So, yeah, I recommend it. So it's up for a B. I'm going to be controversial and put Past Lives as a B. I saw this again over that period I mentioned earlier where I'm trying to just catch up on a few of the films that I didn't get a chance to see earlier in the year. Past Lives had a lot of buzz about it. And a friend that saw it during its original cinema run and said it was like the best film of the year. It wasn't for me. I enjoy films like this, like I like the Richard Linklater Sunrise Sunset films, and this reminded me of that quite a bit. I did like the fact that it was Korean and subtitled for the most part as well, because I watch a lot of stuff with subtitles nowadays. And I think the performances are great. I think the performances are great, but as an overall film, I didn't buy the hype. And this is a problem. I think this happened with Everything Everywhere All at Once. I saw that film before the hype had really kind of begun, and when people watched it later on, because I was like, you know, this is amazing, well, you know, everyone was talking about it, a lot of people were a bit cold. And I think sometimes, especially with little films like Past Lives, this can happen. Another great A24 film, but it wasn't one of my favourites of the year. So it's going down as B. That might change a bit later on. We'll see. Right. let's go and have a look at some more films. Right, so we've got now Champions. D. D. Good, not great. There was some funny bits in the film. I think the film had a lot of heart, but it wasn't as entertaining as I'd hoped it would be. And so, yeah, I'm going to put it as a D. It's about a kind of disgraced coach who, as community service, has to look after a disabled basketball team. And some of the disabled actors they've got in the film are really good. But overall, I just thought it wasn't particularly great. You know what? I'm going to move it up to C, actually. Because it's certainly better than some of the films that I put as a D. It might get moved later on, we'll see. Indiana Jones and Dark Destiny. Sorry, it goes as a D. Seen the film twice at the cinema, can you believe? And neither experience is better than the other. Both pretty poor. Just a waste of everyone's time and talent and resources. Huge box office bomb. And deservedly so. Poor story, poor special effects, poor Harrison Ford for signing up to do this film. Should get paid a lot of money to do it though. But you know, when you kind of see a film and think, you know what, maybe Kingdom of the Crystal Skull wasn't so bad, you know it's not a good thing. So it goes there. Empire of Light. Gonna put that as a C. Really enjoyed it. But I saw it early on in the year. It didn't leave a huge impression on me. And It was clever, it was well kind of made. There were some interesting bits in the story, but I don't think overall it kind of completes, like, it didn't suit the landing. Kind of just ended. So yeah, a good film, not great. It kind of had some buzz about it and it disappeared fairly quickly and no one's talking about it. So, although I think technically it was a 2022 film. There's a few films on this list I'm looking at now. What we've got? We've got Empire of Light, we've got Babylon, and I'm sure there's another one that came out in 2022. The Fablemans comes out a bit later on. But because of when they came out in the UK, I have to count them as 2023 films. So don't argue with me. Yeah, good film, not great. And I'm also going to put as a C film, A Haunting in Venice. The modern Poirot films, the Kenneth Branagh ones, are good. I thought Murder in the Orient Express was probably the best one. This was certainly better than Murder on the Nile. Is it Murder on the Nile? Death on the Nile. It's close, right? Murder, death, same thing. But overall, it's not as good as the first one. It's better than the second one. So C is the best it's going to get. That's it. Air, I'm going to put for B. Really enjoyable. Like, I didn't know about the creation of the Air Jordan or how Nike were able to get Michael Jordan to sign for them back in like 84, 85, and how they came up with the shoe. So, had a great cast. I think the most interesting thing about this film, though, is the fact that they didn't cast somebody to play Michael Jordan that looked like Michael Jordan, because you never see his face. The interactions with Michael Jordan are mainly based on his mum and dad, mainly his mum, and the back of Michael Jordan. So I don't know what that is about. It's a weird choice. But I love the cast of this. Good to see Matt Damon and Ben Affleck do something again together. Just overall a good cast, and the story was interesting, and it was a story that I didn't know, and I enjoyed it so much that I got some Jordans afterwards. I mean, that's, what does that say about the film? Do you know what I mean? Like, that's got to be an interesting thing, right, for the film, to have that effect, to make me go and buy some trainers that I'd never bought before. Like, I've had one pair of Nikes my entire life, and they were just Cortez running trainers. They were nothing fancy or anything like that. So I've now got some proper trainers. Thanks, Jess. Right. The Little Mermaid. I'm going to put that as a B. I really enjoyed The Little Mermaid, much more than I expected to. I thought it was one of the better live action adaptions that Disney has done recently. She's great. Hayley Bailey is great in the film. Her singing is obviously exceptional, but I hadn't seen her act. It was the first film I'd seen her in, and I thought she did a really great job playing Ariel. It felt like it was her own version, obviously based on the animated version, but it didn't feel like she was trying to like emulate it too much. I even quite like the new Lin-Manuel Miranda songs. I mean, one is very Lin-Manuel Miranda, but I thought it was good. I got over how weird Flounder looked after a while. And Melissa McCarthy was pretty good as well, which is not something you can say quite often. So overall success. So yeah, I like The Little Mermaid, one of the better Disney films this year, for sure. Can leave that one for a bit later on. Wish is a C. That might get moved down. Wish, Disney's big 100th birthday celebration film, just felt like an absolute misfire to me. Just, I was disappointed. I was really looking forward to it. And I can see what they were trying to do. They were trying to put like a lot of Easter eggs in there and, you know, all this kind of stuff. But yeah, for me, it just didn't work. And I just left disappointed, and also the box office has not been great, which shows that I'm not alone. It hasn't found its audience. Now, I think some of that is because of, you know, what Disney Plus have been doing for the last few years, which is, you know, putting these films out of cinema and, you know, fairly quickly afterwards, putting these films onto Disney Plus. I had predicted Wish was going to be on Disney Plus by Christmas. It wasn't, which is the first time that's not happened. The first time. I think every year Disney Plus has been about, they've had a big film on Christmas Day. But they didn't. It's still out at cinemas now. It's a bit like Elemental. It's had some legs. It's lasted longer in a cinema than I think I was expecting it to, and it's probably made money over that time. You know, it must be to still be in the cinemas like over a month on, but I just thought it was a big disappointment and not the way that you want to celebrate your 100th birthday, I think. So, sorry. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Mutant Mayhem, I'm going to put as an A-list film. When I first saw trailer for it, I thought, you know, this looks like they're trying to go after that Spider-Verse style of animation that Sony have been doing with also the Spider-Man films and Mitchell's vs. Machines. And I was interested to see how that would work. And also Seth Rogen was involved in it. And, you know, I went in expecting to enjoy it, but not loving it as much as I ended up loving it. Like, I really did enjoy it. It was a really good surprise, and I've seen it a few times now, enjoyed it every time. It's got some great comedy in there, some great voice work in there. I love the art style. Just a lot to enjoy. Just a lot to enjoy. I'm going to have to take this hat off now because I've got an itchy head all of a sudden. Okay. So now you're thinking, like, you know, because I haven't put many films up on the A and S, but, you know, I'm trying to really... I'm going to move some of these around, I'm sure, but just trying to work some stuff out. A Knock at the Cabin... I'm going to put it as a B. I really enjoyed it. M. Night Shyamalan can obviously be a bit hit and miss. I thought this was an interesting concept for a film. I thought it had a good cast. And, yeah. I've thought about it quite a lot afterwards. It didn't disappoint as some of these films can be known to do. Yeah. And also there was... Oh, God. What's a Netflix film? I didn't put it on this list, but there's Julia Roberts, Ethan Hawke film that came out around Christmas that was quite a similar concept to Knock at the Cabin and wasn't as enjoyable. So, and both were based on books, weirdly, but this is, if you want like an apocalyptic drama about trying to stop the world from ending, this is the one to watch. Right, Mission Impossible 7, Dead Reckoning Part 1 is an S tier film. It was one of the films I was looking forward to the most this year, and it did not disappoint. I couldn't believe I have to wait over a year for the next one. That was the only thing I didn't like about this film. I've seen it twice now, so on the lead up to this coming out for home release, we actually sat and watched all the Mission Impossible films with my daughter for the first time, and it was the first time that we'd actually seen some of those films in decades, and some films it was like maybe only the second time we'd actually seen them, or third time. So it was really good to go back and watch them all from the beginning, especially as this one kind of does loop back to events that happened in the first film, or certain characters that appear in the first film. The sequence at the end, although if you play the Uncharted games, feels a little bit familiar, is exceptional. Like, proper, like, almost breathless, trying to, you know, see what happens with the characters. Really, really good stuff. Love the Mission Impossible film series, and I like the Fast and Furious films. These films get better each time. Those films obviously don't. So, right, so no pause. Okay, we are going down. There's not a whole lot left. So, The Fablemans. I'll put that as a B. I really enjoyed The Fablemans, and I think if I was doing this like earlier in the year, again, this is a film that probably would have ranked up a bit higher. But, you know, it was a 2022 release. Not my fault that they didn't release it in the UK until 2023. But I thought it was sweet. I thought it was charming. A lot of nice Spielberg touches, obviously, because it is not only directed by him, but, you know, kind of like semi-biographical as well. And, you know, I thought it was well acted. But it's a film that I kind of, like, forgot about a little bit. So, yeah, I'm going to put it under B. Another poor comedy coming up next, though. Fool's Paradise. This is Charlie from It's Always Sunny. I've forgotten his surname. Sorry. And I saw a short trailer for it and thought, okay, this looks like it could be fun. No, it wasn't. And it wasn't very funny. And it went on too long. And it wasn't a particularly long film, but it did seem to drag. And just wasn't entertaining. It the concept of the film was quite interesting. The execution definitely poor. Had a very limited cinema release, and you kind of understand why. Elemental, B. You know, it's a good film. It was a hard year for animation. Like, a lot of good animated films came out this year, and Elemental is, in another year, it probably would have been an A film. But there was a lot of competition this year, and it was really good. I've seen it a couple of times. I thought the characters were good. It definitely felt like the best Pixar film in a while. The Turning Red come out in 2021, 2022. But, you know, the Pixar films have been a bit more hit and miss. Like, you know, we had Lightyear last year, for example. So, it's only where it must have been 2022, because it came out the same year as Lightyear, but didn't get a cinema release. This was definitely a return to form. And I thought it was an interesting story, but also, when you saw the trailers, you thought it was kind of going to be done one way, and it was actually done a completely different way to how I was expected it to. So I actually thought it was much cleverer than I expected it to be. So it was a nice surprise. But I do remember that when I was watching the Up short that preceded the film at the cinema, there was a kid behind me. He must have been about 5 or 6. He was just going, "Dad, why has that man got a square head?" And it really tickled me. So good film, good short before, but it's a good film. Right, and then another great film is The Boy and the Heron, which is going all the way up to A. My first Studio Ghibli cinematic experience, first film I'd seen in a cinema. It's a weird film. Like, the story is crazy, right? As you expect of Ghibli. But, you know, beautifully animated. It wasn't what I expected it to be. I'm not really sure what I expected it to be. And I want to see it again. Signs of a good film. So, as I talked about in my review, I saw the Japanese original voice cast. What's the subtitled version? When I watch it again, I will watch it with the American cast. But yeah, I'm glad that I've seen a Ghibli at the cinema, and I'm glad that it was The Boy and the Heron that I saw first. One of the most interesting films I saw in 2023, for sure. Are You There, God? It's Me, Margaret. I'm going to put this as an A-grade film. I'm obviously not the target audience for a 70s teen drama comedy about girls that are becoming little ladies, young ladies. Obviously based on the really famous Judy Blume book. I never read this book as a child. I did read some of Judy Blume's books. But the cast is great. Story's great. Really fun film. And emotional as well. And just done really well. Like, I was surprised how much I enjoyed this film. Wish I'd seen it at the cinema. I didn't get a chance to, but it was on Prime over Christmas. And yeah, well worth your time watching it. A lot of fun with it. And certainly one of the surprise hits of the year, even if it didn't do particularly well. I thought it was going to be a big box office hit. It didn't really do well in America or the UK, but it's like, the reviews have been really good, the audience ratings are really good. It just didn't seem to kind of like do big box office numbers. Transformers Rise of the Beasts, D. A film that I went to go and see because I wanted to sit in an air-conditioned cinema on one of the hottest days of the year. And it was showing in 3D, so I could watch it in 3D. It just wasn't very good. The Transformers films, like the Fast film, Diminishing Returns, this one did look better because it kind of introduced the Beast Wars characters, but I really enjoyed Bumblebee, and I was hoping this would be more like Bumblebee, and didn't think it was. And then they try and kind of do like a G.I. Joe crossover thing at the end, and it just felt pretty lame. And I just didn't like the final act. So, some really shoddy effects, and just story as well. So, no, not for me. Did not enjoy it. The Flash, I'm going to put as a D as well. I really, really, really thought The Flash was going to be DC's best film this year. And it probably was. But that's not something to be proud of. When I first saw it, I enjoyed it a lot more than when I watched it again. I don't think it was a particularly good film. Obviously, seeing Michael Keaton back as Batman was great. But the CGI in a film is shocking. And a film of this kind of magnitude should not have such poor effects. And the director's come out and said, like, oh yeah, it's how I intended it to be. But I do not believe him. I am not having it. So no. And yeah, on the second watch, I was like, you know what? This isn't as good as I thought it was. So, you know what? I'm going to move it up to C, because it's better than Aquaman, it's better than Shazam, and it's better than Ant-Man and the Wasp, and that is not high praise. Right. Here's one. Reality, I'm going to put as an A. I really enjoyed this. This is a... it's based on a play, which is based on police transcripts of a woman called Reality Winner. That's her name. And she is accused of stealing some government documents, and the FBI come and investigate the accusations and interview her. And the whole film is, it's mainly three actors. It's the two FBI agents and Sydney Sweeney, who plays Reality. And when this was put on as a play, again, very small cast, and the whole script is made up of the actual transcripts. And you know this because some of it's redacted. So obviously those transcripts are redacted, so there's like moments of, you know, dead air, as it were, where we don't know what was said at that time. It's a really unique film. I didn't know the actual story as well. So going into this, I had no idea what happened, or, you know, if she'd done it, if she hadn't done it, you know, if she's wrongfully accused. And it's a good way of going in to watch this film, not knowing anything about it. It was quite famous. I don't know how I avoided finding out about this, but yeah, I really enjoyed it. It was a big surprise for me. Had a really limited release in the UK, unfortunately, but it's well worth finding if you can. I think HBO Max are showing it in the States. I think it's on Sky Now, maybe. I can't remember. But yeah, Reality was a big surprise to me. And something I hadn't seen before. Like a really, you know, understated film. Really, really good. Dungeons and Dragons. One of this year's biggest flops at the box office. And for my money, an A tier film. And I'm only putting it under A and not an S because I've only seen it once. And I do want to see it again, but I haven't had a chance to watch it again. Dungeons and Dragons is not a franchise I'm very familiar with. My daughter is. She's been playing Dungeons and Dragons for about a year or so now. But it was a lot of fun. It was a funny film. I thought the action sequences were great. I thought the cast were fun. Hugh Grant hamming it up. His best performance of the year, yes, better than the Oompa Loompa, yes, better than Operation Fortune. Chewing scenery like you wouldn't believe. This was a film that I hoped would be fun, but I came out really, really enjoying it and was shocked to see it completely flop at the box office. Now, when I say completely flop at the box office, I mean it opened at like number one the weekend it debuted, but in terms of like what it made in comparison to like, you know, the budget for it and everything, it just did not do well. I don't know why. I cannot tell you why it didn't find an audience. Because even the trailers made it look quite fun, but it didn't find an audience. It was a real shame. It deserved better. And, you know, I want a sequel. I want follow-on films. And I hope that we get them. And it sounds like Paramount are still interested in possibly doing something more with the franchise. Even though the film didn't do that well. Because it reviewed really well. So people obviously liked it, who saw it, but it just didn't have mass appeal, and I don't understand why. Right, we are down now to the final five films for me to put on the list, and then decide what my top films of the year actually are, and put them into a kind of order. Right, okay, here we go. So, Nimona is an A-tier film. Nimona had a very limited release at cinema, was pretty much straight to Netflix, based on a graphic novel, which I'd never heard of, and just really enjoyed it. Like, I'd heard good things about it, so I suggested to my daughter about watching it because she likes animation as well. And we watched it and we all really enjoyed it. I knew nothing about it. I didn't know what the story was about. I didn't know. I could kind of guess at what the animation was going to be like, but, you know, I wasn't sure. But just a really enjoyable film, and it's not been talked about enough, and it's a real shame. Because it deserves to be seen by a lot of people. So, yeah, that's a real recommendation. And that might be moved the more I talk about it. So, yeah, really, really good. And you should go and watch that. Bottoms, I am going to also put as an A-list film. Bottoms kind of came out of the blue. It's another film that I caught up with over the Christmas break. I meant to catch it at the cinema, I just didn't get a chance to, unfortunately. A.O. Debris, who obviously is fantastic. I think she just won an award. I think she got a Golden Globe for actress in a TV series for The Bear. She also pops up in Theatre Camp. She also pops up in Turtles, Muse and Mayhem. So you know what? I like the feels of A.O. Debris. But this is great. It's also got Rachel Sinnott in it, who was in Shiva Baby, which a few years ago now that film came out, but like, brilliant film. And she co-wrote this, and it's kind of like a tribute homage to like the 90s, early noughties, like high school, college comedies, things like, you know, like American Pie and She's All That. That has that kind of like feel about it, but it's not like those films at all, and it also in a lot of ways, but this had a really good like ratio of jokes and performances, and not knowing anything about it, it kind of came out of the blue. It was a real surprise, and we enjoyed it. So yeah, Bottoms comes highly recommended. And here we go, the final few films. All of these are S tier. So, Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse, no surprise that it's up here, one of the best films of the year. I love the first Spider-Man film, and this was no exception as to you know, how good these films could be. It was a really hard act to follow after the first film, because it was so good. It was groundbreaking that way. You know, how to tell that film and make it better. I mean, you know, I talked about Guardians of the Galaxy earlier. You know, how you had Volume 1, which was, you know, this great, unusual kind of, people weren't expecting it to be, I wasn't expecting it to be a great film, and it was. So the expectations for, you know, Volume 2 were really high. And then the film came out and it kind of divided people. You know, some people enjoyed it as much. Many people didn't enjoy it as much as the first one. So bearing in mind how Into the Spider-Verse, you know, did. And again, a lot of people, and I knew it was going to be good, but I didn't know it was going to be as amazing as it was when that film came out. So the expectations for Across the Spider-Verse were obviously very high because of how good the first film was. And this took all the things that were good about the first film and took them up a notch. In fact, the worst thing about this film is the fact that Spider-Ham didn't make an appearance. But he had his role in the first film, and maybe he pops up at the end. But, you know, to take, you know, the best bits of the first film and then try and improve on them and succeed. The worst part about this film really wasn't the fact that Spider-Ham was in it for such a short amount of time, but like Mission Impossible, it ends on a cliffhanger. It leaves on a part one and you've got to wait for part two. And I thought that part two and part one were being done at the same time, you know, like with things like Back to the Future, like almost being made back to back. But actually, what was supposed to be coming out next year, or now in 2024, is probably going to be 2025 at the earliest. In fact, it's not coming out in 2024 unless something dramatically changes. I say that because obviously there is every chance that it could come out by Christmas of this year, but as things stand, there's not a date for it, so we don't know. And so to have to wait for the next part of this story is a drag, but it's beautiful. Like it's I would say it's probably even more stunning than the first film, which was stunning enough in terms of the animation style, especially with the introduction of Spider-Punk, which has this amazing art style that you've never kind of seen animation, or I certainly haven't seen animation before. Great voice cast again, great new additions, you know, interesting new spider characters to meet. And yeah, I just came out of there on an absolute high. And then, you know, my brother said, oh, do you fancy seeing it again on Monday? And I was like, yep. So I saw it, you know, twice in 2 days or 3 days. Although that time we saw it in IMAX, and it was just as incredible. Really, really great film, and definitely, you know, up there with the best films of the year, for sure. And probably best Spider-Man film, full stop, to be honest. Godzilla, minus one. Why can't I move this? It's not a C film. It's not an A film. It's an S film. S tier film. Godzilla Minus One. Definitely the biggest surprise of the year for me. I mean, I if I told you a film about Godzilla would be one of the greatest films of the year at the beginning of last year, I would have just laughed at myself. There is no way I thought this would be what happens, but here we are. Godzilla Minus One is incredible. I've only had a chance to see it once. I didn't get a chance to go back and see it a second time during the Christmas break, and that's a shame. But I know as soon as it like gets a Blu-ray release, I will be watching it again and again. Just to make a film of that quality with those effects looking like it does on a shoestring budget whilst also not compromising on the story that you're telling. It's just a masterpiece. Like, I don't know how they've managed to kind of like get all this stuff together and do it so well. But yeah, just the biggest surprise of the year for me, and certainly one of the best films of the year. And my final film, and this was also the last film of the year that I saw, is The Holdovers. Now, this came out around Thanksgiving in America. It went to Peacock in December, which is how I was able to see it. It doesn't get a UK cinema release for another couple of weeks, which is insane, because this is a Christmas film. Paul Giamatti and his amazing eye is probably one of the finest acting performances I've seen this year. Just amazing. The film is a throwback to like 70s cinema. It's heartwarming. It's funny. It's got great acting performances, including the best debut performance I've seen all year, and certainly for probably a good few years as well. Yeah, just everything about this film I loved. And when I went to Next Girl Wins, I saw a trailer for it, and I'd already had this on my list of things that I wanted to try and see before doing this end of year roundup. So I just watched a little bit of the trailer, and then I just looked at my phone, because I'm in the cinema and trailers are on and no one was around me. And I'm glad I did, because I didn't want the film kind of like any more of it spoiled than I'd already seen. And it was such a surprise. And me and my wife watched it. I just said to her, look, I saw a trailer for this today, thought it looked really good. Let's go and watch it. And it was so, like, we both loved it. It's an instant comedy, Christmas classic. It's definitely going into the rotation. One of the best Christmas films films set at Christmas ever. Goes up there with Die Hard and Home Alone and Elf. Just wonderful performances, wonderful story, and a real big surprise. Really, really, it came out of nowhere. Of course, as I recall this, it's the day after the Golden Globes, and Paul Giamatti was recognised. Some of the cast was, some of the film, the film got some awards as well, and it absolutely deserved them. I just cannot understand why this is being released in January in the UK. Just insane, but absolutely go and see it. So that's it. I've just remembered there are two films that are not here that I did also see, and that's Rye Lane and Creed 3. I think that's it. I think that's everything. Those are the last two films. Creed 3 I really enjoyed, but because of what happened to Jonathan Majors, it's definitely tarnished its reputation for me. It probably would have been a B film. I'd probably put it as a C. And Rye Lane absolutely would be a B. A fun, short British film with some great performances in it. Really enjoyable. But I forgot to include this. I've got to mention it here. So look, I'm going to take one last pause, think about this list, and finalise what I think are the best films of the year. Right. This is it. This is the list. Is anything going to change? We're going to start at my D-list films. So, no hard feelings. Aquaman, Sisu, Renfield, Strays, The Machine, Operation Fortune, Shazam, Scream 6, Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania, Indiana Jones, Fool's Paradise, and Transformers Rise of the Beast. Are any of those going to change? No. That is locked in. None of those are being moved up. Let's look at the films I put that were Cs. The Blackening, Meg 2, Asteroid City, Babylon, Fast X, Cocaine Bear, Champions, Empire of Light, A Haunting in Venice, Wish, and A Flash. I also think they are going to remain the same. Yeah. Look at the B films now. The Marvels, Blackberry, Next Girl Wins, Wonka, Creator, Dumb Money, Suzume, Joyride, Haunted Mansion, Super Mario Brothers Movie, Past Lives, Air, The Little Mermaid, Knock at the Cabin, The Fablemans, and Elemental. I think no. No, I'm happy with that. Okay. Polite Society, Guardians of the Galaxy, Megan, Theatre Camp, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Mutant Mayhem, The Boy and the Heron, Are You There, God? It's Me, Margaret, Reality, Dungeons and Dragons, Honor Among Thieves, I think is the subtitle, Nimona and Bottoms. Are they going to remain? No. I'm going to move some. Because I want a top 10. Okay, 8. Oof. What makes the top 10? You listen to the podcast version, you're missing my mind. My mind hovering over these films and trying to decide what's my last one. Is that it? Am I locking that in? Yeah. Okay. Right. So, now I've got my 10 favourite films of the year. Now I've got to put them in order. So, okay. So I think of these films, I think Bottoms is probably going to be my number 10 film. Okay. And Megan is going to be my number 9. I think that's a fair score. Because I it's more sentimental. It's more my sentimentality that's put it here. And this is the thing, right? This is why lists and stuff are subjective, because I know The Boy and the Heron is a better film than Megan. I know Are You There, God? It's Me, Margaret. It's probably a better film than Megan, but I enjoyed it. I had better experiences than with those films. So that's why it's there. God. Can't believe I'm going to do this, but John Wick is being bumped. 7th best film of the year. It's John Wick Chapter 4. Amazing. And I am going to... I'm going to be Barbie. There. Sick best film of the year. and the film that's taken the most money this year, but my sixth favourite film of the year. Which means Mission Impossible is going to be my fifth favourite film of the year. And I really loved that film, and it was the last film I saw before I turned 40. My last film experience before I turned 40. I've been waiting for it all year. I was delighted that I got to see it a few days, well, it opened a few days earlier than I was expecting to, so. But, you know, a great last trip to the cinema in my 30s, and a great, great film. Deserves its place in the top five. Let's say that. You know, let's at least appreciate that, right? Now, here's where things are going to get interesting. Because Oppenheimer's my fourth best film of the year. And I think it is because of the length of it, more than anything else. The performance is obviously great, but and I've only got to see it once. And to be fair, other than Spider-Man, these films here, the top four, I've only seen once. But it was a great cinema experience, like seeing Barbie and Oppenheimer together. Great piece of kind of like pop culture, living a bit of pop history. But yeah, it's because these films are so good. And it's going to shock you, but this isn't done. This is not done, because Spider-Man is the third best film I saw this year. And it's a film that I love so, so much. And it's testament to these two films that I've put that as my third best film of the year. But is Godzilla Minus One better than The Holdovers? And that's what I'm trying to decide right now. What is my favourite film that came out in 2023? Is it The Holdovers? Is it Godzilla? And The Holdovers is the best film I saw in 2023. With Godzilla. I cannot separate these two films. I just moved around one and two. But you know what? They are so different. You know, they are different and they're not. They're both films about family. One's got a massive, like, creature in it. The other one doesn't. But they are just such perfect films. So sometimes you just watch a film and you come out of the cinema just feeling all these emotions. Or at least I do. That's probably why I love going to the cinema that much, because I do just feel these like amazing things going to the cinema. And walking out of Godzilla, that's how I felt. Like I just kind of seen something truly special. And it's not often that that happens. It did happen when I saw Everything Everywhere All at Once. It didn't happen in the same way that I saw Barbie and Oppenheimer. I walked out of there thinking I just seen two masterpieces, two like fantastic films, but not in the same way that I felt seeing Godzilla. And the thing is that the Holdovers, you know, I've not even seen it at the cinema. Like, I had to watch it at home because it wasn't out in the UK. But I was able to watch it, so it counted. And the enjoyment of sitting here watching it and getting emotional and you know, it's heartbreaking, it's funny, it's well acted. It's everything you want in a film. And Godzilla, it's heartbreaking. It's entertaining. It's well acted. It's got incredible, like, effects. Like, they are both so, so good. I honestly could not decide between these two films which one is better. If a gun was to my head, I would probably go with The Holdovers. Just because it's an easier sell. Like, it's easier to, like, say, a film with Paul Giamatti, you know, set in, you know, America in the 70s, with a good soundtrack, with, you know, this amazing, you know, comedic, dramatic script that's probably going to win a load of awards. It is the best film of the year. But Godzilla Minus One just left me feeling like I've seen something special. And that is the beauty of film. When you go and see a film like that. And all of these films in the top 10, and even the films, you know, that I listed under A, all of those films gave me similar feelings. You know, I came out feeling like I'd seen something that, you know, that was particularly great, but not as special as those two films. The top 10, all of those films, I came out feeling something different than I did any of the other films on my list. So that is it. So my top 10 of 2023 is Bottoms, Megan, Polite Society, John Wick Chapter 4, Barbie, Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning Part 1, Oppenheimer, Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse, Godzilla Minus One, and The Holdovers. That's it. That's your list of films. And that was hard work. That was really hard work. And if you've stuck with me throughout this, thank you. I appreciate it. You know, it's been fun to do. You know, I think this is a hopefully a fun way for me to do this. I'll do this again in the future. I know people do like, you know, going through the list, looking at the list that I've done. But yeah, I just really enjoyed doing this. I obviously enjoy going to the cinema. It's why I do this silly little podcast that's got a really small audience that I appreciate trying to spend a little bit of your time with a little bit of what I'm doing. And it's been a good year for film. It's been a good year for film. And I didn't think it was going to be. You know, I didn't think it was going to be as good as it was. But there have been some absolute gems. And overall, it was a good year. So look, thank you very much for all of your, you know, listens on the podcast feed, all of the people that view the content on YouTube. I appreciate each and every one of you. Thank you so much. You know, this is the first year that I've kind of done this, and it wasn't a plan, but plans change, right? And things happen that I didn't expect, and this is the only podcast I'm doing right now other than Disneyland Paris. So I've tried to make this as good as I can, and it's hard. It's hard work. So I appreciate anyone that actually, you know, gives me the opportunity to do this. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And we get to do it all over again. You know, we're in a new year. Already the films are starting to come out for January. And there's some interesting films coming out in January. Mean Girls, the musical, is coming out. Poor Things, going to see. And The Beekeeper, I'll also be going to see as well, with Jason Statham. So already, we're in January, and an eclectic mix of films. And one Marvel film for the entire year. Well, one proper Marvel film for the entire year. We've got some of the Sony Spider films involving the characters that no one wanted to film about. But it's going to be interesting. Is 2024 going to be as good as 2023? Only time will tell. That's all I can say. So thank you again one final time for your support. I hope you're able to continue to support me in 2024. And as always, Flynn lives.
Thank you.